Welcome to the G3 Podcast. I am Virgil Walker. I'm here with Scott Annual and Josh Bice. We're excited for another episode of the podcast. This topic that we're going to talk about is really an important one, not simply because it's something that recently happened in the news cycle, but also because it's not going away.
Yeah.
This issue is not going away as we talk about the He Gets Us ads and their promotion. This is more than just a Super Bowl kind of one-time hit thing, right? Mm-hmm. This is something that is an ongoing aspect of ministry and an effort to really recreate who Jesus is. And so before I get too deeply into it, Josh, why don't you tee this one up for us?
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly what it is, right? It's trying to create another Jesus because that's exactly what the campaign does. I mean, they spent $17.5 million to advertise a false Jesus to millions of people during the Super Bowl. Through two different ads, and that's massively problematic. Right. So this campaign started with a $100 million investment by various different, you know, individuals who were backing the campaign. Mm-hmm. And so it's been going on since about 2022, mm-hmm. so the last couple of years. And as we continue to watch what they're putting out, really, in many ways, it's just a message of a social gospel, a social justice mm-hmm. sort of message. Mm-hmm. And so in many ways, you might say that it's not a campaign that's built upon the firm foundation of Scripture, mm-hmm. but instead it's built upon the sinking sand of social justice. Yeah. And so at the end of the day, we could talk about Second Commandment violation issues. We could talk about all sorts of things. But in preaching and teaching, and that goes for not only the preacher, the professor, you know, the pastor of the church, but, you know, every Christian has the duty when reading the Bible mm-hmm. to make sure that when we communicate the Word of God, that we're communicating the main point of the text. Mm-hmm. So if I'm preaching a sermon, the main point of that passage should be the main point of my sermon, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. But when they take a portion of Scripture and then create some graphical piece and then they publish that out, what they're doing is they're reading through an American lens, through an American social justice lens, mm-hmm. and then in many ways twisting the Scriptures.
Right, right.
So that what you end up with is not the main point of the text, but some sort of twisted version of a social justice message, right. And it ends up delivering the wrong Jesus altogether.
Yeah, yeah. And they do it sort of in the name of, well, we're sort of contextualizing Jesus to right. this demographic, mm-hmm. or we're contextualizing Jesus to our day and age. But that always goes hand in hand, that sort of over-contextualization. You know, think about things like Black liberation theology, which right. had the same rationale. It always inevitably leads to presenting a different Jesus, a different gospel, a different theology than the theology and gospel of Scripture.
Yes.
So there's a lesson, I think, for all of that in terms of this idea of contextualization, which is even in sort of conservative evangelical, you know, waters. Mm-hmm. But we need to be very careful that yeah. we're not over-contextualizing to the degree that we're actually changing the message.
Yeah. Yeah. This idea of the kind of the social justice Jesus, it really comes out of the social gospel of the early 1900s when, you know, Walter Rauschenbusch, known as the father of the social gospel, kind of comes in and sees the needs of immigrants who are mm-hmm. coming to our country and then begins to feel like, hey, the church needs to do something. I think the initial thought is probably a good one. At the end of the day, what begins to be morphed in his ideology and thought is that the gospel is this, right? The gospel is this yeah. temporal kind of outreach to people who are in need. And what we're seeing in our current day as social justice has kind of come to the fore is that same idea all over again, really 100 years later, right? Yeah. As people begin to push this social justice Jesus as something that we all need. He gets us.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Again, you mentioned this idea of the social gospel, and again, in recent days, we have seen evangelicalism just be completely bombarded by this tsunami of social justice. Mm-hmm. It's just really discouraging. But the fact is, when you look at the He Gets Us campaign, what you see, especially in the recent Super Bowl ads, what you're seeing is that message, right? So you're seeing all of these figures in the foot washing campaign or the foot washing video,
yeah,
you're seeing all these individuals stooping down to a position of washing feet. And then, you know, it's always, you know, two worlds that are being contrasted mm-hmm. there. You know, it's the preacher washing the homosexual, you know, and his feet. And then, of course, you've got all of these different worlds that are colliding.
Right.
And so they're tapping into this, you know, this intersectionality
yep.
piece.
Yep.
And really, in many ways, what happens is they twist Jesus's intention with foot washing altogether.
Absolutely.
I mean, foot washing was Jesus washing his disciples'
Correct.
Feet. And it had nothing to do with just Jesus walking about from village to village washing everyone's feet.
Right.
That's not what Jesus did.
Right.
Right. I mean, you could argue and say, well, he washed Judas's feet.
Right.
Well, he did. But again, that's you can't take that one specific situation and then apply it across the board and say, we're commanded to go about, that's all that we're commanded to do by Jesus is just go about from place to place in our culture and just merely become everyone's servant.
Right.
What you see happening, even when he washes Judas's feet, if you look at the context there, you see even in like Matthew's account, he actually speaks about his sin and Satan entering him. Mm-hmm. And so he's confronting his sin, right? If you go elsewhere to like the woman at the well, when you see their depiction of that text, because He Gets Us has a video on that as well, they basically make Jesus this social worker or this, you know, this social justice warrior that's just marching through Samaria to promote intersectionality rather than on a mission to save sinners. Because they say in the video that Jesus engaged a lonely minority woman
right.
who was coming in the heat of the day because she was an outcast.
Right.
Well, there's some truth to that, right.
right?
She was coming in the heat of the day, and she was an outcast, and she was engaged in sexual misconduct and so on and so forth. But Jesus doesn't just serve her. Mm-hmm. Jesus confronts her, and he doesn't just step across these various barriers in culture, he actually confronts her, and then she leaves not having been served in a physical sense, mm-hmm. but she leaves that well, Jacob's well, with living water.
Right. Yeah.
And
that's the
point.
They so minimize the confrontation.
Yeah.
I mean, they even say at one point the fact that she had five husbands and the one she's not living with,
mm-hmm.
they actually say, which probably means her husbands had died,
yeah.
which is not yeah. the implication of the
right.
text. She
right.
is living in sin. Jesus is confronting her sin.
That's right.
Yes, he is, you know, doing so to someone who a Jewish man typically would not have talked to. Why? Because the gospel is open and free for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
But he doesn't give her this watered-down, squishy gospel. He
right.
confronts her of her sin. He tells her to repent. He tells her that living water comes when someone submits to him. And praise the Lord, she does.
Yeah.
She does repent,
yeah.
and she goes and tells others. So they completely miss the message.
On one point, I see the kind of the marxification of the entire narrative, right? It's the oppressed and oppressor narrative
yeah, yeah.
amplified. So you've got that aspect of it. The other piece of it is, I started to say, well, it's a truncated gospel. The reality is, it's no gospel at all.
That's right.
Because no one's sin is addressed, and they're not brought to a savior. What they're told is that He gets us.
Yeah.
He gets us in our sin. He gets us in. In fact, they're lightening the implications of sin by presenting a case where the person who obviously culture, we would say from a standpoint of Christian culture, would say that person is living in sin. They actually don't admit that in any way, shape, or form. It's just the hey, we get it. He gets us. He's for us. He washes our feet while we're in our sin, and we don't have to admit it to be sin.
Yeah.
So it's just absolutely
wrong.
It's the wrong Jesus,
yeah,
the wrong Jesus altogether.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. In fact, if you look at one of their more popular videos that sort of emerged during the Christmas season, it's this idea of this couple that finds out that they're pregnant, this teenage girl. The parents are suspecting that it's the boyfriend's baby, but it turns out it's not the boyfriend's baby, but the boyfriend then marries this young teenage girl, and they get a small house together. And then as the script goes along, this short script goes along, and of course, you know, the video's continuing, you hear the narration continue to state that they got a small house, and then suddenly one evening her water broke. Mm-hmm. There was no time to call for help. So he, the husband, delivered the child and laid him in a manger.
The
point is, and then they go on to say, Jesus was born to a teenage mom. Mm. He gets us. Well, see, the problem with that is that Jesus wasn't conceived in a sinful relationship, mm-hmm. number one. Mm-hmm. Number two, Mary wasn't engaged in a sinful relationship that brought about Jesus's birth.
Right.
So this idea of taking the birth narrative mm-hmm. and then using it to, like, aid the problems of teenage pregnancy and to comfort these young girls that are pregnant, to say, hey, listen, Jesus gets us because he was born to a young teenage mom mm-hmm. too, is the wrong message altogether.
Right. I mean, at the root again is this idea that we have to change the message for particular demographics for their issue. I mean, this is the same problem we've seen with the social with social justice, mm-hmm. with the social gospel, with sort of the emergent church, missional church movement. It yes. keeps sort of rearing its
right,
head.
Right.
But the beauty is that Christ already incarnated himself, took on human flesh, so he doesn't need to be further recontextualized somehow.
Right.
Right? We don't need a black Jesus,
point.
A Chinese Jesus,
a
woman,
point.
Right? He already incarnated himself, mm-hmm. right? And the gospel message is a message that applies to everyone. It meets the need of every single human being,
right.
which is the need of sin.
Right.
Right. Our deepest need is not I'm a teenage mother, or that I'm oppressed, or that, you know, this, that, the other. Our deepest need is sin. We across the board equally have that need, and the beauty of the gospel is that it is universally contextualized to that particular need,
yeah.
and therefore does not need to be altered.
Yeah,
or changed.
Yeah, and to that point, and Virgil's done a lot of work on this, is that this idea of breaking everyone up into these various groups
right.
does nothing but divide us.
Absolutely.
And so the very best way for us to look at the story of the gospel is to see that we don't need Jesus to be formed or reformed or recreated into a different context, like you said, the Chinese Jesus or the black Jesus or the white Jesus. I mean, we don't need any of that sort of thing happening. The very best way we could read the gospel story is to just see what it says in John 1:14 that he took upon himself human flesh,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
right? And so human flesh. And so there's one race, right?
Right.
And so Virgil's done a ton of work on this, obviously, but the point is, it's when we start breaking us all into these different little categories
right.
and saying, well, we need the Jesus for the teenage mom that's pregnant, and we need the Jesus for this other group. I mean, if we look back, you mentioned this a moment ago, Scott, the whole missional movement with Ed Stetzer and, mm-hmm. and so on and so forth. That has greatly hurt the church.
Usually.
And so what we need today is we need to just step back and say the He Gets Us campaign is another Jesus altogether, and we just need the Jesus of the Bible who doesn't just get us, he comes to save us.
Yeah, thank you.
And that's the point.
That's the point at the end of the day. When I look at this and I look at their campaign on their website, you know, you've got the activist, hashtag hope, you know, all of these, hashtag struggle, all of these ideas are all aimed at temporal means. I need this in the temporary. None of this is dealing with your eternal need. The fact that you are indeed a sinner, and all of us are equally charged with sin against mm-hmm. the holy God, and as a result, we need a Savior.
Right.
Whatever the idea is that surrounds He Gets Us, there's nothing attractive, there's nothing that draws us to need this Jesus. He actually needs us.
Yeah.
He's actually, you know, aimed at us. It's a man-centered message that is not aimed Godward or takes a look at His holiness, who He is. It definitely minimizes the attributes of God. The only attribute we get to see is mercy and love. We hear nothing about His wrath, nothing about His justice. All of these things are muted for the mere fact that we love our sin, which Scripture says that we do, and that we want someone to affirm us in our sin. And that's what this Jesus ends up doing at
that's
the end
it.
Of the day.
There's no message of repentance.
Right, right. You know, I've seen people try to compare this and say, well, this is all this is doing is trying to embody what the author of Hebrews says in Hebrews chapter 4, you know, that Jesus sympathizes with us. He's our high priest. He sympathizes with us. But there again is a gross misunderstanding of even the nature of what that text teaches, right? Mm-hmm. How does he sympathize with us? By taking on our flesh,
right.
by becoming incarnate. Therefore, he sympathizes with our weaknesses. What's our weaknesses? It's our human flesh,
right.
And he then is able to stand as our substitute. Why do we need a substitute? Because of the wrath and judgment of God upon sin. That's entirely missing. So if you want to embody in a campaign and spend $17 million or whatever to embody the ideas expressed in Hebrews chapter 4, well, then we need to hear about sin, we need to hear about judgment, and we need to hear about the fact that, yes, indeed, Jesus Christ took on human flesh so that he could stand in our place, save us, and then, yes, now that we are his people, he can intercede on our behalf mm-hmm. at the Father's right hand. Which is true for believers only, not for just these, you know, outcasts who are living in sin and have not yet submitted to Christ in culture and society.
Yeah.
So let's actually embody the truth of the gospel, not some watered down, contextualized, you know, gospel-less message.
Yeah.
I go back to Scott, what Josh said earlier about $100 million just to start this thing up. Mm-hmm. And then $17 million spent for 75 seconds.
Right.
In a Super Bowl ad, yeah. to present a false Jesus.
Yeah,
I mean, we're ministry. I'd love to have $17 million in my coffers, and at the end of the day, recognizing that we're going to present a biblical Jesus who can save.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not this social justice Jesus. It makes no sense to me.
Well, I mean, if we had 17.5 million, we could do stuff that would impact the church far and wide globally for more than 75 years.
Yeah.
It wouldn't just be a 75 second investment. It would be like generational investment, right? But again, as we think about the Jesus that the He Gets Us campaign promotes, it promotes this ecumenical rabbi, this teacher that basically just comes about to just affirm us and to make us feel good mm-hmm. or to serve us, but never truly getting to the message of the gospel
right.
and never truly getting to the message of repentance. Mm-hmm. And that's massively problematic.
And they come right out and say it, right? I mean, they're saying right in their campaigns, right on their website, like we're offering an alternative to the harsh, judgmental message that is often preached, right? So they're coming right out and saying, we're against the kind of gospel that says sin deserves judgment, that has the idea, these are the same sorts of people who are against the notion of the wrath of God being poured against his own son. These are the same kinds of people who will call that, you know, divine child abuse mm-hmm. and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. These are the same sorts of people who are against the idea of penal substitutionary atonement. Mm-hmm. So, and they're not even trying to hide that. I'm not surprised by what groups like that are doing. I'm more even in some ways concerned and surprised by the otherwise orthodox evangelical people who are defending it, who are saying this is a good thing, who are saying, hey, we're reaching into corners of the culture that we wouldn't otherwise. No, again, the gospel is sufficient. The word of God and the gospel and the true Jesus are sufficient for any person in any lifestyle, sinful condition, state of life. The gospel meets every person's need because every person's need is freedom and rescue from the wrath of God upon their sin.
Josh, you've written about this at g3men.org, a blog article about this, and kind of touched on the main points of the campaign, why it is what it is. What do you think are the motivations behind this group or what they're trying to accomplish?
Well, I mean, I think as Scott mentioned a moment ago, this idea of just presenting this nice Jesus, mm-hmm. you know, the nice Jesus that says nice things, that cares for people, that serves people. But what they're doing is it's in many ways what, you know, Jefferson did with his Bible. They're taking part of the Bible and cutting out other parts of the Bible that seem to be more offensive to them. Mm-hmm. So let's just take the part of the Bible that I agree with. But even the part of the Bible that they actually agree with, they twist it into something else.
Mm-hmm.
So it then produces a different type of Jesus. And that's the problem with this type of campaign, is because anytime that you say, we want to create something that says it a different way, then right off of the bat, what you're saying is that I'm ashamed of something that the Bible does mm-hmm. say.
Right.
And we can't.
Yeah.
And so we can't be ashamed of the God of the Old Testament and the God of the New Testament because they're not two different gods.
Right.
It's the same God.
Right.
And we have to be consistent with that.
Yeah.
And so, again, the world doesn't need this ecumenical rabbi mm-hmm. that comes to affirm humanity. We need to see that God sent his son to save sinners. Mm-hmm. And that's the message that the Bible presents.
Absolutely. I'm looking at Matthew 1:21. It says, she shall bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. It doesn't say, for he gets us.
Yeah.
Right? That's yeah. not the point of mm-hmm. of the message of Christ. And as we begin to land the plane on this particular subject, Scott, Josh, any final last words as you think through this? What should people be thinking about as they see this? Because this campaign is not going anywhere. Mm-hmm. It's here to stay. They've got a lot of money, a lot of resources. And I think if there's any good about it, it provides an opportunity for Bible-believing Christians who have a desire to present the biblical Jesus. It provides us a chance to redress that, right? Yeah. To represent that, to represent that, if you will, to those who are watching advertisements or getting on websites and thinking about these things. If anybody, and I haven't heard of great testimonies of people coming to the HeGetsUs.org or whatever the website is and coming to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And if they did, I'd be concerned with who the Jesus they claim they're being saved by actually is. But as we think about this, are the things that people should know about, should think about, think through as we kind of land the plane?
Yeah, I think just recognizing that there are bigger lessons here than just the He Gets Us campaign, right? That's a cultural moment and a problem, and we need to be concerned about it. But it ought to cause us to step back and say, okay, what is the gospel? Reaffirm the universal need that the gospel meets. And help us to see, like we've been talking about, that this, this He Gets Us campaign is one example of many that we've seen plague evangelicalism in the last, number of years. Mm-hmm. And maybe evaluate ways in which our own churches and our own thinking have been impacted by this sort of over-contextualized mm-hmm. idea, whether it comes to the gospel, our understanding of Christ, the nature of the church, how we worship, mm-hmm. all of these sorts of things. We don't need to change that in order to meet the culture. The culture is not our standard.
Right.
Our standard
right.
is always the Word of God. And if we stay on the standard of God's Word, that is going to meet any need that comes in the sinful culture around us.
Absolutely. It's almost as if we are in a constant battle to represent the biblical, right? The sufficiency of Scripture. We have to go back to show, hey, this is what the Bible says about how we do church. This is what the Bible says about who Christ is. This is what the Bible says about sexuality. This is what the Bible says. And we have to keep going back to that, Josh, as we think about it. I mean, it gives us excitement because we love doing that. And that's a part of what G3 is about. But it's also frustrating at times because you're thinking, does anybody ever get it? It's that kind of a process.
It is indeed. If you just look at culture around us, we see the winds of culture continue to blow on a week-to-week basis. And our culture is always happy to present a different type of Jesus.
Right.
And so there's always going to be an alternative that's presented. And so we see that with this campaign, but it's indicative of the problem. So we need to be consistently coming back to the Word of God. If you really want to know who Jesus is, mm-hmm. God has given us His book.
Mm-hmm.
And so we need to return to God's Word and see how God has presented Himself, how the Spirit of God has presented the Son of God in the pages of sacred Scripture. Mm-hmm. And so let's take up the Bible. Let's read the Word. Let's see who Jesus actually is. Mm-hmm. And He is indeed the great sovereign Savior who seeks His people, who lays down His life for the sheep, and He will save every last one of His people.
Man.
And so this is the Jesus that the Bible presents. Not this weak Jesus, this figure that just comes along to serve us or to affirm us in our sin.
Mm-hmm.
He comes to save us.
Yeah.
And the beauty of that is that the Scriptures are indeed sufficient.
Yeah.
And over against that, we need to always remember, whatever form it comes to us in, is that the social justice Jesus will never save anyone.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Those are good words, good thoughts. We're hopeful that you're edified by everything that you heard here. If you like what you heard, definitely like, subscribe, share this podcast with others. Definitely download the G3 app. The G3 app is chock full of great information. It's going to be a great resource for you in the days to come as you deal with different issues. We've got all kinds of resources on there free of charge. It's so worth the little bit that you'll pay to subscribe. And so download, go to plus.g3men.org, download the app, subscribe, stay connected with us in that way. Until next time, we appreciate you taking a listen to the G3 podcast.